She's back. Good luck, everybody else.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and as always, I'm in the building with my two bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish. I can't breathe.
Cracking Jack, boy.
Do you want some? Like, I have an inhaler. Are you going to, like, survive?
We'll find out. I mean, you wished us luck, but Tom, the intern, didn't do too hot on that opener there.
What?
We heard that shit playing back.
Oh, no. That's because I have
my
laptop.
Did you just call Tom the intern?
I cannot with him.
I'm back.
He's back. She's nasty, too, apparently. Mm-hmm.
I got to make up for it.
Oh, Lord have
mercy. I think I did a good... I made a good call by not coming last week.
Do you want to tell everybody why?
I made an executive decision. I said
so we're going to jump right into our weekends because he's going to tell us why he wasn't here last weekend. So, Chris?
I have wounds from it.
Mm-hmm.
I have wounds from it. No, yeah. I worked all day on Sunday.
What is it, like... anal dentata?
No, it was from a fucking lobster.
Yeah.
The thing slipped me open.
She literally became the neighborhood mess, but go ahead. Oh, no, wait, you were hanging out, but go ahead.
I can't. No, I just went out and then, you know, sometimes, you know, you learn, you're like, well, I'm not going to get wasted tonight.
But and then you did.
You get wasted a little bit every now and then. Yeah. So I decided that I was not going to be able to to do it on
Monday. See Exhibit A. So Exhibit A is people coming into the bar on Sunday saying that so-and-so is with so-and-so and they're having a great time. And then so-and-so never showed up at the other bar, so I was like, they're having a really good time.
So-and-so and so-and-so became hot messes on Monday, and he didn't show up for the show.
Yes.
No, but he did say he wasn't coming, because he couldn't.
At least you ate.
No, but the thing
is... No, I did, but... the Sauvignon Blanc, she just kept giving it to me.
But it's so funny, right, because... he ended up texting me, and it was like 2:30. He goes like, hey, Tom, I'm in West Haven. Can I just go over your house?
Because
I'll let the pups out. And I'm like, sure, no problem.
No, you didn't get back to me for a while, because I ended up stopping somewhere else, having like a glass of water and chilling for a little bit. Okay, a glass of wine. which happened to be right near your place of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Because my plan was I was going to go come here.
Oh, she was at Outback.
Watch the onion bloom.
Yes. I was going to come here.
The onion that blooms.
Let the doggies out, and then I was going to sleep it off here. But then I woke up at 5:45 in Brantford, and I was like, no, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Did you know you were in Brantford?
I made it to my couch, so yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Christopher.
Yes.
I cannot with you.
I know. But like I said, I wasn't messy here.
And anyway, and how was your weekend this weekend?
I just worked all weekend. Boring. Very busy, but...
which is good.
Yeah. I need it because I'm going on vacay soon.
That's right. You need that cash. Skipping where are you going, if you don't mind me asking?
Sorry, Trish. I love you. I'm going to Montreal again.
He's going to Canada.
I'm going back to Canada. I'll be on too. I'm studying my French. I've been studying every day, studying about 3 hours a day. I'm going to hang out with my friend. We're going to go to a music festival. I met a new friend recently. I'm going to hang out with him for a little bit. And then I'm actually going to take a trip on my own.
Where did you meet this new friend?
At my friend's bar my friend worked at. We just started chatting. And he's like, oh, I'm from Canada. I was like, let's be friends.
Let me give you some advice. You're going to a music festival with Chris. Bring a baby carriage. You're going to need something to carry
him. I'm good at music festivals.
No, just
there's a lot
leash,
going on.
Like a leash.
A leash, yes. Yeah, a leash. That's fair. That's fair. Because I am like...
share a location and bring a leash.
Because I'm in those kind of like settings, I'm like the dog from Up. Like we can really be focused and I'm just like, squirrel, and then I'm gone. Like, you know, things catch my attention. So keep me on a leash. That's fine. But
so like, bank every so time. Chris is always complaining about the fact that I don't listen to him. And I'm like, well... you just proved the reason why. And this is why, because we will be having like a conversation about something. And then he's like, squirrel. tangent, like tangent that makes no sense to anything. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to check my phone while he figures this out. And then he gets mad at me because I'm not listening
to him. And I actually genuinely get mad at him. I'm just like, fine, I won't talk then. Yeah, if you're not going to listen, I'll just waste my fucking breath.
That is too funny.
But as I was saying, I'm also going to try to go see PM Trudeau. I'm going to take a train to Ottawa, and I'm going to go tour Parliament and the Canadian History and War Museum. It'll be fun. I've not been to the capital of Canada, and I might get my tattoo now.
You might.
I might get it there.
What are you going to get?
Well, I've always known what I wanted, but I didn't know where I wanted it, but my friend... co-worker said that she thinks it would look good on my leg, like the back of my...
Your calf?
Yes.
What are you getting?
A maple leaf.
Oh, of course. Lord have mercy.
Of course it's going to be a maple leaf. But anyway, so our friends in Montreal, our friends in Ottawa, I'm going to be hanging out there. I leave August 8th. I'll also be spending one night in Burlington, Vermont on the 7th just to break up the trip.
Yeah.
So
avoid at all costs.
All right. Enough about me. What up, bitches? I haven't seen
you.
So
you've been warned, Burlington, Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Bernie. Yeah.
You've been warned. But that's awesome. All right,
yeah,
cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Something to look forward to. You're also going away somewhere else in the West, you said, right?
What?
Aren't you going to go visit the West at some point?
Not on this trip.
Not on this trip.
No, I would like to. It's just so expensive out there.
Yeah.
I can't afford that.
Well,
we'll see.
Sugar
we'll see.
Daddy.
So, Trish, right? How are you? How was your weekend?
It was fine. Nothing crazy. Yeah.
That's it?
It was so exciting. I'm jealous.
Well, okay, fine. So, let's give you the rundown. On Friday, because I had the day off,
awesome.
I ended up
Tom, how was your weekend?
Exactly.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I love you.
No, the highlight of my weekend really was I got a new Brita filter.
You know, that's actually...
I'm super excited about it. It's one of those ones that, like, it's like the big one with the spout, and I'm like, this is great. It's never going to run out, but then it will, and then I'm going to be like, Pat, what the fuck?
Yes, exactly.
But believe it or not, I mean, they're great filters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then, of course, since it's my life, I hung out with a Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Met more of... this said person's family.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know. I like his family so much. It's him on the other hand that I'm really
confused.
He's just
terrible.
I can't with them too.
it's terrible. Yeah. No. But it was a good weekend. I cleaned. And then I worked last night, and we had an incident. And
yeah.
Oh God, it was so weird.
We can't talk about it, but it was an incident. It was very weird.
Yeah, and you know.
Blood everywhere.
It happened. So it happened, and obviously, like, I'm compassionate, and I'm like, I feel terrible about this situation, but I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
I knew I should have went out last night. God damn
it.
It
was, you know, what are you going to do?
No, I mean, like, it happens. It's just like, oh
no,
my.
Someone fell, and they hit their face on the floor. Oof. And they were bleeding, and, you know.
There was blood everywhere.
And, he hit face hard. And so, you know, we called medical personnel, medical professionals that came in. I believe the fire department is the first one to come they're the first responders. And then after that, they brought an ambulance, and then they took the person to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And hopefully... he's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. Like, it's just one of those things where you get to a point, like, where you find yourself in these situations and you're like, what is going on in my life? Like, literally, like, I could be at home. I could be in bed. I've got an early morning tomorrow. But no, there's blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, but you know what? It happens. And if you work in a public setting or in a public business, especially like a bar, there are two things that are guaranteed, blood and vomit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like guaranteed de facto like issues that you're going to run into at some point or numerous points throughout your career as a bartender.
I would add to that, but
yeah.
It's gross, so I'm
and
not
spit.
Going to.
Yeah, I remember spit.
Feces.
Oh, yeah, lots of that stuff. Oh, my God, you just reminded me. I'll never forget this. I have to tell this story now.
I'll never forget it.
I'll never forget this. I was working at York still at this time, and these girls came in, and one of them was really into me, and Chip kept making jokes like, honey, not going to happen. But she kept just buying drinks and drinks and drinks, and I was like, oh, no, this is not going to end well.
What? Your job is to cut her off.
I know.
Okay.
Okay. Well, once that time passed, it was the damage was done. I was like, well, fuck, this is what I did. So I'm responsible. So she's in the bathroom for like an hour. Her friend finally is able to get in there, and I see the door crack open, and she's butt naked. She had puked all over herself and everything. So I go in and I mop up the vomit.
With her in there?
No, we finally get her out and everything. So I mop up the vomit. We have the dining room full of people, full, for karaoke. This is when they did karaoke on Wednesday nights. I'm bringing the mop bucket through there to get to the kitchen. It hits a lip on the floor, and the entire bucket pours out into the dining room. I have never been responsible for clearing out a bar quicker than that day. Everyone left.
That is so funny, because now I'm going to go into another story about my... So this has nothing to do with feces. God, or puke or anything. But so I used to work, when I was in college, I worked at a bookstore. And
of course you did. What kind of bookstore?
It was the school bookstore.
Oh, okay.
And
just making sure.
There were two floors. The bottom floor was where you'd get your books. The top floor was like apparel and all of that stuff. But I had to mop the top floor. So I go up, I mop the entire floor, and I have to take an elevator because you can't take the thing down the stairs. And this is in like the student center. And I'm going back down into the basement to get rid of the water and put the mop away, and I knock over the mop in the elevator, and it's just dripping water down the student center in the elevator shaft, and I'm just like, I have no idea what to do here, so I just take the elevator down, and I'm like, I did it.
Guilty.
And it's just like all you can hear is dripping of water in the elevator shaft.
God, that is too funny.
Oh, God.
Oh, that is good.
She's classy, you know.
At least yours wasn't full of vomit, though, so they can be grateful for that.
No.
No, mine was my aunt. My aunt actually showed up to the bar.
Oh, no, I was there for that.
Nick was there. My mom was there. And my mom, you know, she wasn't drinking that night, but my aunt, for whatever reason, decided that she was going to have a Prosecco and a Corona simultaneously.
Double fisting?
She literally, and I'm like, and these bitches just kept giving them to her, and she was just sitting there like, la, la,
that
la,
is not
la,
true.
La, la, la.
When she arrived, she did not drink that much there.
Let me
finish. So
what had happened was, she sat there, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's having a good time, and she's talking to my mother, and she just puts her head down.
Oh, no.
And now she's sleeping on the bar.
Oh.
And so I'm like, all right, I looked at Dave and I said, Dave, I'm sorry. You know, I'm bringing her home. I'm bringing her home with my mom, blah, whatnot. So, you know, just we'll deal with it at the end of the night. And so at the end of the night came, and we went to sort of kind of wake her up, and she got up and she just started looking around, and she just all over the floor, all over the chairs. And here comes our coworker, John, who was off that night with a mop, and he's just mopping it all up, and he's being such a good guy. And all of a sudden, she just drops to the floor, and I'm trying to pick her up. Now, she's covered in vomit. I'm trying to, like, prop her up, and she keeps throwing herself on the floor.
I'm done. I'm going to bed.
No, but that wasn't the reason why. So her tooth fell out.
Oh.
So she was diving on the floor before he mopped it up to look for her tooth.
That is expensive.
And she found it and put it back.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
aren't you people jealous of our lives?
God.
Like, what are you doing getting a college degree?
Oh, my gosh, she is going to kill me. But that wasn't the end of the story. The bitch ended up peeing herself. And she was standing, and I'm literally watching, you know, as the fabric gets darker and darker. I'm like, I didn't say, I was like, oh, my God, I cannot. So I went into the kitchen, and I grabbed, like, a whole bag full of towels that we have, and I just started taking towels out, and I went and I put them all in my truck, because now I have to put her in my truck.
And Dave's like, you're paying for that. You're paying for that.
Yeah,
you're
right?
Paying for that.
Like, put a cork in her first. Like, it's bound to happen again.
So then I finally get her into the car. My mother jumps in, and my mother's like, oh, my God, I'll never come in here again, especially with you. And so I get home. I get to her house. Now I got to drag her up to the second floor.
Oh, my God. This just keeps getting better.
And then, like, she's crying. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Your boss is going to hate me. And I was like, my boss is going to make fun of me for, like, months.
Yeah,
watch
if anything,
it.
You just gave him a gift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pretty much.
I mean, like, I'm mad.
Oh, Lord have mercy. And then I dragged her up the stairs. And finally, I get her into the bathroom. And I just threw her in the bathtub. turned on the water and just walked out. Well, I was just like,
hopefully you propped her head up or something.
I know. I'm like,
sounds like attempted murder. You're that mad.
I'm sure you were upset at your aunt, but yeah, Jesus.
Right. And she goes, I'll be fine. Go.
Oh my God.
I had to work the next day at 7 in the morning. So anyway, my cousin calls me the next day. He's like, yeah, you left her. She cried for like 2 hours. She was so embarrassed. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so bad. But I'm like, oh, it was so funny. And now anytime someone ever mentions partner, she goes, I'm never going there.
Oh my God.
Ever. Because I'm so embarrassed.
You show up to work the next day. How was your night, Tom? Oh, no, it was just fine. You know, just drown my aunt. You know, cool.
But anyway,
I don't think I've ever had a moment where I've been at a bar that I'm like embarrassed to go back to it.
No, me neither. No. I usually, like, when blood leaves my body, it's when I'm out of the bar. Like, I try to hop the fence at home in my lederhosen when I'm, you know, hammered. Like, I don't do the, I mean, I've gone home with maybe some people I shouldn't have gone home with, but.
When I get to a point where I'm like, all right, I know that I'm done, I'm usually like, for lack of better terms, Steve, we gotta go.
No, it's fine, Nick, you just stay. Yeah, it always sits that switch where you just have to Houdini, you're like, I gotta go, now.
No one Houdini's like your roommate. Nobody. I know.
I've started working on the art. I have started.
Yeah. He's classic Houdini. He's like,
gone.
I know. I was like, and you're like, bitch was my ride. Like, if he had to do that, he probably should not be driving right now.
You're like, where did he go? I'm like, yeah.
He's in bed right now.
Yeah. He's still always, every time he knows I'm out drinking, I know it. He's praying to open the front door. Because last week, I dropped my Brita pitcher. I filled it. I was a little hammered. And I dropped it on the ground. So the whole kitchen was covered in water, and I actually cleaned it out, and I cleaned the fridge.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you walked away from it.
No, but when I told him the story, he's like, I'm always waiting for the day to open the door, and you're just like passed out on the kitchen floor with the fridge open or something like that, or you're like outside your room just on the floor. Like, you tried, but you didn't quite get there.
I love how he has expectations.
I know,
of that sort.
I know.
That's sort crazy. Of worry about you.
I worry about me. Especially when it's not during the semester. Like, school needs to start because I get myself in trouble.
Oh my God.
Those mornings hurt.
So, okay, anyway, the life of.
So, can we tell one more story?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, since we're doing story time, I might as well tell one more story.
Story time.
So,
I love it.
So, sometimes I sleepwalk.
Mm. Oh God.
I did not know this about you. I'm
learning
things.
So when I'm really, really stressed out, I sleepwalk.
Oh my God. That's scary.
And so there was this one time where I had a lot going on at work, and I decided to go out and have a couple cocktails, and I get home. I wasn't, you know, drunk, but I was definitely stressed and had drank. And I don't know what happened in the middle of the night, but like, I must have sleptwalked somewhere because I wake up and I'm on top of my roommate and his boyfriend.
Oh my God, I remember this story.
So I guess what happened was I woke up in the middle of the night and I was trying to, I don't know, walk to the bathroom or something like that. And I tripped and I went straight, because we have a Jack and Jill bath, and I went straight into his bedroom. And thank God his bed was there and I had bruises on my shins and I went right on top of them. And that's when I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry guys, don't worry about this. All right. All right, I'm going back to bed. And I like slowly back out of the room back into the Jack and Jill bath and shut the door. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
His poor boyfriend, he must have been like, I think we need to see different people.
Well, they are no longer together, but that's not my fault.
Oh, God. Well, I did not know that about you.
You didn't know that story?
You told that story on the air before, actually. I do remember that.
Well, it's a good thing
story.
My door closes and locks because that bitch can't sleepwalk in my house.
Mm. No, you know, actually, I haven't been, like, I haven't gotten to the point where I've been that stressed in a long time. I'm not sure what was going on. I think it was during the time when I was dealing with a
Steve issue?
No, a really terrible actor that had come to the theater and was treating me very badly. And it was hard for me to go to work every day. So I think it was like during that whole thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would be I've never experienced, like, one of my brothers sleepwalks, but I've never seen it. That would fucking like, if you were coming at me, I'd probably smack you. Like, I'd be terrified.
I would totally take advantage of the fact that you're sleepwalking and smacking and be like, hey, you just woke up. What's wrong with you?
You kind of bumped into the wall a little bit.
My uncle one time sleptwalked into the middle of a highway. And I don't know how my grandfather woke up, but my grandfather woke up and ran out and grabbed him. But my uncle just walked into the middle.
See, I'm not the only one who needs a fucking leash.
How close was the highway to the house?
So before they moved, their house was, it was like a, it was a main road, but a main road with like double lanes.
Gotcha.
So okay. Not a highway, but like, a busy main road.
A very main road.
Yeah.
Like the post road here.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay,
gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Anyway, so this
was fun.
Okay, anyway, so this is a gay show.
Well, it's three gay people talking about their gay lives.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about another 10 minutes before we can jump into break. So I figured that we would take an opportunity, being that this is an episode that it's going to be all about the dish, to sort of kind of connect with some of our listeners that have been emailing us and sending us communications that way. Because from time to time, these are amazing and great to get.
Also, if I don't respond or if we don't respond, it's because we're planning on
talking about it on the show.
Yeah.
And we try to omit names, so we'll just use just the first name, so no one knows where they're from, who they're doing, blah, blah, blah. And but these are amazing emails, and I love when people write in and send us stuff. And yes, what?
Just one line, don't read.
Okay. Anyway. All right, so the first email is from someone named Richard. He goes, "Hi, I am Richard. I am 58 years old. I'm a cis bi guy. Who discovered your podcast about 6 months ago, and I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your show." Now,
It's not happening.
This line is being omitted.
So
it's not happening, and you know what it says, Richard.
And so then he goes, "Although sometimes your cocktails could be a little weaker."
Winky face.
I'm like, listen.
So this is only 5%.
So just so you know, we're not drinking booze anymore on the show. It's generally Truly or beer.
I've actually switched to wine, and I was able to speak. Except for last week, because I had, you know, a vat of wine before the show.
You weren't even here.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Back to the story.
So anyway.
Can you read the email, Santa?
Sure. So he goes on to say, "Over the years, I have moved around a lot from..."
South Wales.
From South Wales to London, Scotland, Holland, and now Sweden. "And I have started in each new place from scratch. In many places, it is easier to begin as a straight man and then see how safe it is before you come out to people that you know. I've been in and out of the closet so often I get dizzy. Just now I live in a city of Malmo and have started to come out to some colleagues and friends. I was just hoping that as a podcast that I listened to today, you were talking about New York World Pride, and you mentioned that Pride events are still ongoing or happening and continue to do so all over the world, that perhaps you would give a shout out to Malmo Pride, which is going to take place on July 20th, which he also noted that it would be his first Pride.
Awesome.
And then he also said that there's also Copenhagen Pride, which is going to happen on August 17th, which will be his second. And keep giving us pleasure and keep on with the show. So first of all, thank you for taking the time to write to us. And I think that he deserves claps for his first and second Pride. So I think what to expect? So Trish, what can he expect? What emotions can he expect? Or what experiences can he expect from his first Pride? What were yours? What do you think his experience will be?
I mean, can I talk about something else? Yeah, I'm going to... I will get there.
Okay.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how he feels the need to, like...
Well, you got to remember.
Put the feelers on.
Yeah. Yes. And I get that. And I get that. I think it's difficult for me to understand because, as we all know, I can't hide who you meet me and you know I'm gay.
But you got to understand that he's coming at it from a bi perspective. He's a bi cis male.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's not nor gay nor straight. And so when he goes, and I think what I took from this was that when he goes into a new city, he sort of kind of has to feel out the environment before he decides to disclose.
In no way am I bashing. It's more of a concern. I mean, when he says, like, so often I get dizzy, it's got to be really hard to have to go through that and, like, rebuild your life and meet new people. And you have to, there's, like, this level of trust. And it gets me to thinking, like, our community does this all the time. Yeah. And it is so emotionally wearing. It's really hard to move somewhere new whether you're in a relationship or moving somewhere single, as gay, bi, lesbian, transgender, and have to figure out if you can be, if you are safe in the environment where you moved. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm just, there's got to be a way to remedy that. Like, how do we as a community say, this is a place you can go to, this is a company that you should work for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to feel dizzy. You should be able to be 100% you no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what caught me most about his email. And it was very powerful for him to share that with us. And I thank Richard for that.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you take the time to make sure, first and foremost, that you're safe. Because in many circumstances, there are a lot of people that decide to be themselves regardless of the consequences and then end up in a situation like, for example, Matthew Shepard. You have to. There's an inherent risk that you take every time that you come out to someone. And there's also an inherent responsibility that you have to ensure that you are safe in your surroundings before you can allow yourself to be. And sadly,
right, of course,
within our community, it's something that we have to do.
It almost has a sense of making, to a degree, you're making yourself vulnerable. You're opening up to who you really are. But even one of the nations that he listed, Holland, the Netherlands was the first country to legalize same-sex marriage. So that, for me, I would feel like a place that I would be welcomed by a vast majority of the nation. Of course, no matter where you go, people are going to be assholes and there are going to be bigots. But a country that's where I would feel so welcomed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I know people in Connecticut, which is generally pretty progressive, that aren't out at work because they know they shouldn't be out at work because of comments they've heard or because of just the general environment. And it should not be like, I'm sorry, I guess I'm getting a little angry about it. It shouldn't be like that. If you're working in an environment in which it's unhealthy or unsafe to be truly who you are, one, you should probably find something else. But if you don't want to find something else and you want to work for this company, there are ways to fix the issue. And I don't know. I just, it's terrible to think that people have to hide who they are.
But you know what scares me? That in a Donald Trump America,
I know. Oh, honey, I know.
Trying to remedy those situations or correct those behaviors in people at work could end up being far more worse for the individual who's making the claim or is saying, hey, this is happening to me. Mm-hmm. You know, why am I walking into a bathroom and having nine guys that were just there using the bathroom just like me walk out all of a sudden abruptly?
It's also important to point out the age of the person. He said he's 58 years old. So this means he grew up through a time where people in our community were victimized, as they still are today, of course. But he grew up where we were looked at as, you know, sexual deviants.
It was a different world.
It was a different world. And then to grow to where we are now and then have a demagogue put in the highest office in the world who is bringing this hatred back. Mm-hmm. So he goes from a place of perhaps fear or maybe hatred or unaccepting himself.
Or then, just being safe.
Yeah, just,
And protection.
And then feeling that, okay, maybe, you know, things are getting better, but then being brought back to that same spot again. So I can understand why maybe he wants to put his feelers out before.
Right. Yeah, and I do that all the time, too. It's like when I'm in a new space that I'm not familiar with, I sort of kind of check myself.
The bro voice. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And I looked around, but no, that wasn't that. I found myself, like, when I go into New York City, for example, and I'm in a space where I don't know anybody, and I look around, I'm like, all right, I have to check myself and find out where I am, who's around me, am I safe, can I be me? And if I can't do that, then I remove myself from that environment and go somewhere else.
So I wanted to bring this up, and I think that it's important that we talk about this. And I like how he calls it dizzy, like this weird, you know, you're just unclear. It's unclear, and you don't know how to move forward.
Did I come out here? Am I out here?
Am I safe here?
Yeah.
But what I do want to say to answer your question, which you were originally asked, is that what you will find going to Pride, in my experience, I remember the first time I went to Pride, is that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much beauty in the LGBTQ+ community. And you'll find that there's support in other places. And if you're not getting it where you need it, or if you need to find it in other places, you can find it through people at Pride. And yeah, it gets a little ridiculous sometimes, but buy into it and love it because it's part of your community mm-hmm. and you're part of the community. And when you buy into it and you support one another
and make connections, you know,
right.
you
exactly
as network. A bi male, you have a really good opportunity to make connections in both realms of the spectrum. And, you know, I think that connections made at Pride. You have two opportunities to meet people and friends from two different amazing cities, I'm sure, that you'll be able to connect with and together visit very safe spaces and where you can be who you mm-hmm. want to be and enjoy yourself.
Also, check out the By the By podcast. It's a wonderful podcast. We had them on our show.
That's right.
It's a bi couple, a female and male, and they're, I'm not sure, are they, I'm pretty sure they're married.
Yes, I believe they are.
And they have this wonderful show, and they invite wonderful guests on to talk about what it's like to be bi in the community, and that could be a really good resource for you.
And they
you.
Have amazing getaways, by the way. Like, they do getaways in Mexico, they do getaways all over.
They try to get me to go to one.
Yeah, but it's a good resource. But, you know, first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to reach out to us and having a conversation and a dialogue this way. And it means a lot to us.
Yeah, and I want to say something to Richard, especially, I'm very excited that you're going to be going to your first Pride, because I remember my first Pride. It was a very small one. It was in Northampton, Massachusetts, but I was still coming to terms with my sexuality at the time. I was 18. But for me, being there and just being surrounded by people in my community, it gave a sense of normality to my life.
Yeah.
Like, I no longer, like Nick said, you know, you're not alone. And I no longer felt abnormal or different. Mm-hmm. I realized that people from all walks of life, male, female, gay, straight, bi, transgender, that everyone was just getting together and it was so beautiful and so normal. And that's something that I hope you're going to be able to experience.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I know we have to move on, but
No.
But it's like it's this feeling, right? So like when I'm at the gay bar or when I'm at Pride and you're surrounded by all these people, your walls just fall down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they like straight up fall down. I mean, Chris was in DC with no shirt on, for example. But like, but the reality is, it's like you walk through life every day with an eye over your shoulder because you never know. And there's this protective right. element of being in the LGBTQ plus community. And I get that. And I'm still like that. But when those walls fall down and you're surrounded by all of this love and power and beauty, it's mm-hmm. like, it's just like, I can be me and yeah. love me. It's great.
I think it's going to be a beautiful experience for you. You're going to see so many things that will shock you, so many things that will make you feel all the feels and warm and beautiful. You know, it's with so much that happens, everything from a religious aspect to the political aspect to the the people who are actually watching the parade, their enthusiasm and everything that you see is just going to, your senses are going to be on overload. So definitely, you know, if you can have a glass of wine, maybe two.
Make the drinks a little weak though.
Yeah. Make it weak. and seriously, you know, I think that you'll have a fantastic time. I can tell you my first Pride was amazing.
And if it's
an eye opener,
if it's coming from a religious perspective, you know, if you have some religious convictions, while I was at Middletown, Pride a couple weeks ago, it was amazing to see how many churches mm-hmm. were there handing out stickers and mm-hmm. asking or offering free hugs and saying, "You're beautiful. God loves you. We all love each other." So, yeah. like, I guarantee at these prides, especially a city as massive as Copenhagen, that there are going to be churches affiliated with the Pride events.
Yeah, I have to say that the religious community has really stepped up their game in regards to
some.
Well, I mean, when I say the religious community, I mean, some of the denominations that exist are really doing a good job in reaching out to the LGBT community, right. knowing that we are humans, that we love, and that we have an innate wanting to be able to connect with God. And you know, some of these other churches don't let us because they say we're a sin or what we do is a sin. But you know, in the eyes of God, we're all His children.
And everybody has a pulse.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, girl. Yes.
So on that note, again, Richard, thank you for writing in. We do appreciate it.
Let us know how Pride goes. Email us back.
Give Please us a follow up and let us know how you do it.
I'd even love to hear about it on air.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I mean, like, amazing. Do you want to follow up, email him, book him, or should I? I mean, because I...
That's your department.
Got it. Okay,
that's your department. So, I just come here on Monday.
So I'm going to say something out loud and then be like, Trish, take care of it.
She's got this. I just come here sometimes on Monday.
All right. Well, listen, we do have another email that we want to cover. This one is a deep one we'll have to break down. But we're going to go to break. Yeah. So what we're going to do is leave you with some music. And when we come back, we've got stories, another email, and so much more, Dish. Here we go.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. 'Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would. Because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby,
people, welcome back from the break. That was Time by Pat Riley, the incredible Pat Riley, who we've had on the show. That kid is so talented. Mm-hmm. That whole crew, though, that whole crew from that play,
Afterglow.
Afterglow was just
hello.
That was such a good play.
And wait, what was Christensen? What was the first name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
One of the characters, one of the cast members, last name Christensen, I believe.
Christensen? I think we should listen to Richard and maybe weaken Brandon? Tommy's beverages.
No, it was his birthday.
Brandon?
Was it Brandon Christensen?
Oh my God, why are you yelling at me? Now I'm looking it up. Talk, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's one of their birthdays, so happy birthday.
Today?
I believe it is.
Well, happy birthday.
I think so. Anyway.
I'll be right back.
So anyway, welcome back from the break again. That was Pat Riley with Time, his latest single, which is available on SoundCloud. You can download that as an MP3 for free. And but feel free to donate because, you know, he's amazing. He does great work. So anyway, we're back. Before the break, we were talking about emails that we're getting from our listeners. And, you know, we had spoken amongst ourselves about an email received from someone named Richard. So thank you. And now we're going to talk about another one. This email comes to us from our good friend and listener, Ben, who writes to us. And he says the following. He goes, "Hey, guys, love the show. And I'm new to the community. I'm in my late 30s and only recently came out. I've been having some problems and don't know what to do about it. I've never really been with anyone, male or female, until about a year ago. What I mean, when I meet a guy for fun, I never know what to do and get so nervous and anxious that I have problems getting an erection. So much so that I've almost passed out a couple of times, and I don't know what to do or who to talk to about getting help where I live. Any help or suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Now, first and foremost, we do need to put it out there that we are not doctors. We're not psychologists. We're not.
Trust me, they know we're not doctors.
We've just been through it.
We've just been through it. So we'll try to speak to this in the best way we know how and try to get through this. So there's so many different layers to this. First and foremost, he's in his late 30s, and he's just now starting to explore his sexuality, whether that be with a man or a woman. And so when you're starting off in your mid or in your late 30s, that could be challenging because, you know, you've passed that point of puberty. You've passed that point of being, you know, sexually charged and at the prime of being, you know, just explorative and being able to explore your sexuality with whoever you wanted to. And so it's tough. I can certainly understand because now for me, in my 40s, it is a lot harder to have sex or at least try to go for as long as I could have when I was younger. And so I could understand how that could be frustrating. But I wanted to sort of kind of get your idea. Chris, maybe you can chime in here and give us your perspective on why do you think he would be experiencing such issues?
The thing that grabbed me the most was the fact of his nervousness and the anxiety that comes from it, which is leading to him having erection problems or difficulties. I understand that because you can be, there are multiple things that maybe might be going through his head. And this is something that was big for me when I first started exploring my sexuality was I would also get so nervous and anxious when I was engaging with a partner because I was worried that perhaps I would finish too quickly. Mm-hmm. So that would keep me from actually pursuing to have intercourse.
That hasn't changed, by the way.
But you also had another element to that that was, and we had talked about this, we actually released an entire episode about your situation that really made that even more cumbersome and more harder for
right.
you to engage sexually
right.
because of your issues.
We did do an episode about it, and we know that, you know, my ass has been butchered by the hand of doctors, not from cock. But I understand the nervousness and the anxiety, but that's I myself suffer from anxiety. So I don't know necessarily if I can really give the best advice to help him get through this other than, you know, just like try to be comfortable and be calm. But that's just so easy to say, but not easy to quite do.
To do. Well, I mean, one of the things that I took from the email, too, is that there may be an element in where maybe he thinks that what he's doing, being that he started doing...
Right. That they're going to be more experienced than him, and he might seem like he doesn't know what he's doing or doing a bad job.
Not even that, but I get a sense that maybe what he's doing, he thinks that maybe it's wrong.
That's right? What I'm saying, yeah.
And wrong in the sense that, you know, maybe it's maybe there's some religious things behind it. Maybe he feels that what he's doing is a sin. And so he's associating something with that he thinks or that people perceive to be wrong with why am I still going ahead and doing this if I still think it's wrong?
Right,
and
no,
maybe I can't perform.
I get that perspective, but I think it's more from the performance side.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from it.
Can I take a crack at it?
Give it.
Go ahead, baby, go.
All right. So here's what I think. One.
Dr. Trish.
Everybody needs a therapist.
Yes.
So find a therapist that you feel comfortable with. Don't just settle on the first person you meet. Like, try a couple different people and really find the person that you can talk to about what you're going through. Number one, because there's definitely baggage. There's definitely something that you haven't dealt with, or I still have stuff that I haven't dealt with that I deal with every day in your past. So find a therapist that works for you. Two, honestly, be honest. If you want to be sexual with somebody, get comfortable with them. Tell them where you're at. And it might help. Mm-hmm. If you can literally sit there and say, hey, look, I'm so into this. I really want to do this. I need you to know that this is sort of my first time. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
There are people out there that are willing to say, hey, let me help you.
Not even let me help you, but like be more, it won't be like, I'm throwing you against the wall and trying to fuck you. It'd be like, all right, we're going to do this in a different way. And that being said, too, if you're honest and somebody says, okay, well, that's not for me, then that person isn't right for you.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
And you can, and there are a bunch of assholes out there, but there are a bunch of really good people out there. And there are people that are going to be like, okay, I understand. And when you communicate, it almost sounds silly, but communication during sex is really important.
Yeah.
Like, until maybe you get to that point where you just want it dirty and raw. But up until that point, it's totally okay. You're going to be able to find someone who's going to say, is this okay? Am I making you nervous?
And communication can be quite satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You
know, so
I think use that as a tool to get you to where you need to be.
And that's
where you need to go.
And I found myself doing that with people in the past. Like, is this okay? Am I hurting you? Like, you know, you have to be open and talk to them. That's probably, from my perspective, the best, and obviously Trish's, the best advice I can give is just be honest.
Yeah. I mean, speaking personally, you know, I've been with people that have been very large, and we all know that I'm a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Wait, you're a bottom?
Yeah. Oh my God. News to Gay Talk listeners, I am a bottom.
But even the greatest of bottoms can still be terrified of a massive cock. It's like
excited.
Know.
Terrified and excited. Yeah. But you
know, give her the yuca root.
The point that I'm trying to make is that I was in a relationship with somebody who had
been well endowed.
Yeah, so but we didn't have sex for a long time because it was hard.
Why do we always pause when we try to describe well endowed? It's
because when I say well endowed,
you can say it.
Cuz when I say well endowed, I'm like, that thing was big. And so like I'm imagining it in my head and I'm like I need my own moment, just like that was mine.
She's Kegeling over there.
We go through the entire trauma all over again before we can vocalize what we actually want to call it.
Trauma for us, excitement
anyway, but
for
seriously.
Her.
But anyway, what the point is that this person was patient with me. Mm-hmm. And when we talked, we talked through it. Like, it was like step by step. And eventually we had really, really great sex. But there was no rushing because we had open conversation. And I think that's really what this person needs to be able to do. This person needs to be able to say, hey, I feel this way. I have not been sexually active in this way or this way, but I really want to experience it, but I'm not ready for this. I am ready for this. Can we try this together?
Yeah.
And to piggyback on that, I agree, because the first time that I actually, now I don't know if you're nervous about trying to bottom or trying to top or just, you know, foreplay, but the first time I went many, many, many years being out and exploring my sexuality without bottoming. Mm-hmm. And the first time I did, the person was also large. But so we had talked about it for a while.
Oh, please. It was Dr. G and it was his finger.
Okay, well, all right, well, his finger was nice, but no, I was nervous still.
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. And like Nick said, we talked through it. We took it slow. We had open communication. So that's just two people out of the three, at least, that are sitting here that said that this worked for us. Mm-hmm. So I definitely would recommend just being open and honest about it. Because Nick made such a good point, and I'm sorry, and I'll stop after this, but you made such a great point when you said, if that's not, if the person says, well, that's not really for me, well, then he's right. That person's not for you.
Yeah.
But you know, another thing that you have to keep in mind, too, is that sometimes when you're doing like a one night stand, for example, when you meet someone, it's not something that people are up for, which is conversation. Oh, let's feel this out. Let's talk it out before we get into it. People just want to go wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and
get it. Yeah.
Get in your Uber and go home. And I think that trying to have a conversation, I think that's what's really getting this individual in the sense that, you know, he's like, you know, I get so nervous and so, you know, stressed that it's like I can't perform. And if that's a situation that's making you stressed, then I think at this point, as opposed to trying to just do one night stands, there's maybe a possibility that you could engage people one, two, maybe three times on a social level before you decide to do the deed, which might help with loosening you up, with loosening them up, and then opening up the opportunity for conversation and trying to figure out what it is that you both enjoy.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. I am a classy lady, and I do not sleep with people on the first date. I don't. I have. I don't, though. I personally am very uncomfortable sexually. I'm uncomfortable with my body. I have a lot of image issues, just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I want to know that if I get into bed with somebody, they're not going to be like, oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, right?
Or make me feel, I mean, that doesn't necessarily happen, but like make me feel less than.
Right.
I want to know that when I'm in bed with somebody, I'm comfortable enough to open myself up to them. And yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But honestly, that's the truth. You're right. I think using apps like Grindr, it is technically a great venue. You can have conversations, and some people will have conversations with you.
And I've made friendships off of it.
We know.
No, pure friendships.
We know. Yes. But like, there's also Tinder. There's also online dating apps. There are ways to be honest online and say, hey, I'm looking for this. I want a friendship. If it turns into something else, it does. Great. Yeah. But like, that'll give you kind of that buffer to say, I'm having this conversation because I want to know that when I'm in that space, I'm going to feel okay and I'm going to feel safe.
Right. Yeah. And since we're talking about the one night stand thing, that always brings something back. You know, I also try to avoid those situations, but then I usually know them, but that's the other thing. That's my point. Exactly. If you're going out to bars and you're hanging out with someone that you hadn't met before, it comes to a safety part too, and that's gone through my mind once before. I've made a mistake and I was like, okay, there's this person in my home right now. I don't know this person. I don't know if I should trust this person. And I remember that night exactly. And that's one of the first things I thought about when I read this was me thinking like, is this person going to rob me when I fall asleep? Is this person going to like go through my shit and then just leave? So there's a lot of things when you bring a stranger into your home.
Yeah.
So that's something that I thought of.
There's a lot of variables.
Yeah. And just to follow up on that though, if you find yourself in a situation where you want to have somebody over, that's not necessarily somebody you know. Now, it says that you're recently out, you have a person that you're sharing your location with and that knows what's going on.
Right.
And I mean, we've had this conversation on the show when you went away and you said, hey, I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
If I don't get in touch with you within 45 minutes, please call me or please whatever.
Or here's my location, send the police.
Right. And that's exactly what I did. He didn't get in contact with me and I called him and he was like, I'm good, thanks, bye. but
that's important.
I was still in the middle of the deed.
But that's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did.
Oh, imagine the other person. Like, it was my mom, it's fine.
That's exactly what I said. I'm like... Oh my God. So, you know, it's, and now, so just to give you a little bit of background on that, I had went away from work. And so I was in Maine and I said, you know what, I'm just going to open up the app and see what's around. And I had engaged with this person online and we decided that we were going to hook up and blah, whatnot. And I did, I sent him a message. I said, Nick, I am going to meet with this guy. I'm going to his house. Here's his address. This is where I'll be. Call me in 45 minutes. How presumptuous of me thinking that I would last that long, but I did.
Well, I mean, we all know she was on the bottom.
I don't answer the phone. You know, this is my location. Send the police.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
Right.
You never know.
Safety is important to think about when it comes to it. Yeah, it's not all just dicks
and it's
and
sad,
ass.
Right? It's it sad is. It is. But that's the think that.
But that's the world we live in, and I think that's fantastic. We all share a location with each other, and if I go away or something, I tell you guys
until she decides she wants to turn it off.
Sometimes I turn it off too, but that's because I don't want to be shamed about certain things like Steve's. Anyway, but like I don't want to scare this person away.
Right?
I think it's important to focus a little bit on the fact that you've made so many friendships on Grindr, right. Like when you go away, and those people have become kind of long term friendships for you.
Who have flown across the Atlantic Ocean to hang out and go on trips together.
Is like, it that good?
You're a dick.
No, but I mean, to focus back on Ben, here's what I say. If for whatever reason you have any doubt in your mind that what you're doing as a human, engaging with someone of the same sex, if you think that that is wrong in any way, shape, or form, the first thing you need to work on, I wouldn't say need to. The first thing I would suggest that you work on is understanding that who you are as a person, there's nothing wrong with you.
And I wouldn't say work on. No, just suggest. Yeah. Because that implies almost that there's a problem.
Well, I mean,
there's also
if you think that having gay sex is wrong and you're a gay man, then that's a problem.
Because in
essence, you have to understand
I don't think that's what I'm just going to be.
Right. But I don't know. But I want to cover all the bases.
No,
right.
So right. But I don't think that's what he's saying. I think it's a nervous thing. It's a stressful thing.
I think he wants to do this.
Right.
He really truly wants to.
So I'm just going to give an example. When I moved to New Haven, I didn't know anybody really. I had one friend and I forced myself out to the gay bars. I went down to the gay bars. And
I just walked in and said, I'm here.
But I met a group of great guys and I didn't sleep with anybody for a while I was here. And eventually I met somebody and his name was Steve.
Oh, God.
Of course.
But anyway.
The epicenter, wasn't it?
I dated that person for 2 years, but it wasn't until I met this group of people and I felt like I built a community and I was safe that I allowed myself to engage with somebody else because I knew I had people.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I think you need to be able to build your community and be able to talk about your issues that you have personally and work through those issues. And once you do that, you'll be able to relax into a situation with somebody.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to just sort of kind of put everything in a box for you, have a conversation with the person that you're trying to engage with. You know, don't feel bad about reaching out to professional help, seeking maybe the assistance or the advice of a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone that you can sit with and say, this is what I feel. This is what I'm going through. How can I work through this? Because trust me when I tell you, you will probably be so much more better for it. And trust yourself too, you know, because I think that, you know, your doubts typically come from not having that experience, and you're basically letting us know that, you know, you started late in the game. And so not having that experience is a lot to do with it. And so keep at it, because guess what? Practice makes perfect.
Absolutely. And I would not recommend seeing a psychiatrist for this issue.
A
therapist. A psychiatrist is just going to try.
Psychology therapists, isn't that sort of kind of like?
Psychiatrists are doctors. So they're going to throw pills at you. They're just going to throw pills at you.
Okay,
you just need
a therapist.
A therapist. You just, like Nick said, everyone should have a therapist. Just someone that you feel comfortable. Like you said, do not settle for the first one. If the first one's the fit, great. But don't. I've had a bad experience. I've only seen one before, and I stormed out one day.
Yeah.
But you do want to find someone you're comfortable that you can talk to about this. And the other thing advice I would give is not using alcohol as the thing to make these situations try to make these situations better, like to calm your nerves. Because the next thing you know, if you overindulge, it's so easy.
Overindulge, yes.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Don't use alcohol to try to help with this. It's fine to have, you know, a couple drinks, but the next thing you know, if you're overdoing it, it's going to be worse.
And I'm also interested to know, because in one point, a part of the email, it says where I live. We don't know where you live, and you may feel as though there aren't resources around you, but there are resources, and there are plenty of online resources that you can tap into to find different resources within your area.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you could probably even email Dr. G from Bespoke, and he could potentially help you find a therapist or point you in the right direction.
Right.
But there are, even if you call the Trevor Project.
I was just about to say, call the Trevor Project.
And say, like, I just need to talk about this. I mean, there are so many outlets out there.
You can find the resources.
And I would hate to see you not sexually satisfied. honestly, that's at the end of the day, like, right. I'm being honest. Like,
of course.
I want you to be able to experience it and experience an amazing time because it can be amazing. It.
Right, exactly. I
and,
agree.
And practice makes perfect. So, I mean, keep at it. I know that you're inexperienced and I know that you're having a hard time with it, but, you know, just try different things. And also, know what you want and know what you like. You know, there are certain things that
and what you don't like.
And what you don't like. And set your parameters. Make sure that you're clear in your expectations if you're engaging with someone of what you expect from them and what they expect from you. And that way, everyone's going into it knowing exactly what they can and cannot do. And I think that that's also an important thing.
Yeah. Honestly, just...
Yeah.
Best of luck.
But again, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, and boo.
No. But, you know, again, thank you. Thank you for, first of all, taking the time to reach out to us and ask us such an important question, because I think that, you know, a lot of people could also benefit from your same situation. And you may not be alone in this, you know, and that's another thing that, you know, there's a lot of people that may be going through what you're going through.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you both for reaching out. And if you guys want to, you know, reach out to us, anyone that's listening, ask us questions or even, you know, tell us how we're doing. You know, Nick can give you the email.
Yeah. And can I also just say, like, randomly, like, obviously I've had sex and plenty of it at this point in my life, as have you two. sorry.
Fucked her so good she can't count.
I was factoring myself in there.
No, but, I think she was counting me as two.
No matter how many times I'm with somebody, or if it's the first time, the second time, there's kind of always this element of anxiousness and nervousness. And it's like, for me, it took me a while to kind of embrace it because that's kind of an exciting part.
Right.
It's like, this is new. It's exciting. It's fun. And like, that's why you're feeling that way. And it's like hard to find a way to embrace it. But if you can, I'm going to tell you.
I agree.
So I'll tell you a story.
It's natural because that's your natural endorphins going through your body. Yeah. Your body is saying something's different. It's not saying something's bad or something's wrong, but something's different. And it's giving you that anxiety. And if you can work on... If you can manage to move that anxiety into excitement, that can become something really great.
Or acknowledge that that anxiety actually is excitement.
Exactly.
I'll tell you a very, very quick story. So I had met this guy, and him and I were talking for about a good 2 weeks before, you know, we decided that we were going to sort of kind of engage each other sexually. And he really said to me, he says, you know, I'm a power bottom, so when you go at me, I want you to give it everything you have. And I'm like, oh, don't worry, I got this. And, you know, and we were talking about this for like 2 or 3 weeks, and we were working our way up to it. And the first night that we decided to just go gun blazing, I couldn't perform. I have overexcited myself so bad that it was just like, wow, this is embarrassing. And then we just laid there in bed. He goes like, don't worry, it's okay. I think you're just very nervous. And I think that all this talk about, you know, getting it in and doing and blah, 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 just really got us worked up. And now we can't do anything about it. So, but we'll get there. But I can guarantee you the next time, my God, once we had that conversation and we sort of kind of threw that out into the air, I feel sorry for him. I destroyed that man. God. And then he left for Florida. I was like, I couldn't see him again. Oh, he was.
Where'd he go, Mar-a-Lago?
He went to Wilson
Manors. I see where you're going with that.
He went to Wilson Manors. Oh, he was insatiable indeed. Lord have mercy. But yeah, it's just to let you know how conversation can actually help. So, all right.
That was like a roundabout way. But I hope we sort of answered that question.
I hope so. And you know what? And if you feel that you want to let us know whether or not that can and cannot help, please let us know.
Thanks for writing.
Yes. So, all right. So we have a couple of more things that we wanted to talk about.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, of course you can. Of course.
I always do this.
Yes, you do.
I always do this.
Cut her mic.
So I don't know what the plan is for Ben, but if you want a bottom, work your way up. Like Dr. G says, are ways. There are butt plugs, ways to get comfortable.
Dilators.
You can start small and work your way up so that you're not in a situation where you're like,
it's painful.
There's no way this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can literally train your body to have healthy sex.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The body's a miraculous thing. It can withstand a lot.
And then do your Kegels on the weekends, and you're right. Well, not
still
weekends.
He's still alive and kicking here.
Still here.
That is witness right here.
All right. Sorry. Yes, we can move on.
All right. So
good luck, Ben.
So do you want to talk about, well, we sort of kind of touched base on it, the whole Grindr thing and being safe and knowing, you know, blah, blah, blah. There was something that happened on Grindr.
Yeah.
I can move on if you want to.
Well, for some reason, it didn't pop up in my stories. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick. And move on.
All right. So why don't we just talk about Sarah McBride? So we have a sister in our transgender community who is running for a Senate seat for the state of Delaware. She is running for the state Senate. Let's clarify
state
that.
State Senate, yes.
Basically, what she did was she announced her campaign on July 9th, and if elected, she would be the first openly gay trans person elected in Delaware, and the first openly trans state senator in the whole country. And
it doesn't say gay, just to clarify. Yeah. Openly trans person elected in Delaware.
Yeah. In McBride's announcement video, she focuses on the people of Delaware and the district in which she's running. She says, quote, "This is a special place because we're all neighbors here. We take pride in each other's accomplishments. We feel each other's pain, and we're there for each other when it counts." She adds in the video and tweets that she's running for the people's dignity and peace of mind. And I have always said, and I continue to say, and I will advocate this, and probably until the day I die, that visibility is our biggest strength in our community. And when you have individuals that are willing to put themselves out there and go out and get it, it helps our community in immense ways. So congratulations to her on launching her campaign.
Yeah.
I hope that she gets elected. Because I think it would be amazing. But anyway, Chris.
And she's already broken glass ceilings. I mean, it says here that she interned in the Obama administration's Office of Public Engagement mm-hmm. and Intergovernmental Affairs, focusing on LGBTI issues. She also made history when she spoke at the Democratic National Convention mm-hmm. on July 28th in 2016, making her the first transgender person to speak at a major political party's convention.
And she's also currently the National Press Secretary for the HRC.
So she's got a lot under her belt.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, she does.
So good luck to her.
I look forward to reading about her policy stances.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. So did we find it?
So, yeah, I have two things. One's the Grindr thing, which is kind of depressing. I don't think we should end the show on that. So
why don't we talk about that, and then you can talk about your other story and then bring it home?
Okay.
Okay. Because I think it's important. People need to know that this is happening and that... you can take steps in protecting yourself.
All right, so this was reported actually today. Mm-hmm. A 31-year-old man is dead. Another is seriously injured. And this all happened because a 26-year-old Detroit man who was arrested, thank God, lured these two men using the Grindr app and killed one of them and wounded the other. So that being said, you have to be safe on Grindr. Have conversations. Make sure you're saving your, sharing your location. Don't just go to random places without telling people. I know that in our community, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. People do it, like hook up all the time on these apps. And it is a rarity. It's not going to happen all the time. But the fact that it does happen... Mm-hmm. It's scary.
First and foremost, hooking up is not illegal. Hooking up is not bad. But you never know who you're going to meet on the other end. So find someone that you can trust. I trust both of these men with my life. Obviously, Nick was the one that I was communicating with when I went to Maine. So she got the text and she got the information. And I trust that she would be doing right by that information.
And it's so important to do it because it's better to... Sometimes, if you tell your friends you're going to have a hookup, they're going to... like if I were to contact you guys and say I'm going to meet this guy, I'm going to get heat. You guys are going to make fun of me and stuff
totally.
That. But the shame, it's not even real shame. It's like just friendship, friendly shame.
It's like jealousy, honestly.
Yeah, I'll take that. But that's, but if you feel that it's shameful that you're going to hook up, that sense of shame is a better feeling than not having any more feeling because you got yourself in a bad...
I'm not judging. I'm like, send me a cock pic. I need to approve first.
Well, there you go. But it is important. It's more important to reach out to people because they're going to care about you, even if they make jokes.
Yeah, so there's not much more to the story.
No,
he was arrested. His name is Demetrius Nelson, and he was charged with first-degree murder. Be safe. And continue to have safe sex. And continue to not
use butt wipes.
Use butt wipes. Mm-hmm. Don't use butt wipes.
Don't use butt wipes. Butt wipes.
Butt wipes.
Butt wipes.
Sorry, I bit my lip.
And be careful because enemas lead to a greater risk of contracting an STD.
That's right, because you wash away all those good bacteria that you need to have in your colon.
I listen, kids.
Get yourself a Hello Tushy.
A Hello Tushy?
A tushy, which I still have to order me one.
Yeah, Trish still owes me one.
I keep saying Hello Tushy because...
Well, I mean, show up every week.
Because...
I missed last week.
Don't ditch me on my birthday.
Oh, yeah, I am doing that.
No, I keep saying Hello Tushy because I just don't want people to go to tushy.com because you're going to end up with something...
Some dirty porn.
On a website you don't want to be on. So it's hellotushy.com. Yeah. So, anyway.
So, the last thing, I think it's uplifting. So this story is about how heterosexual adults or adults in general can help over 40% of the LGBTQ plus community not commit suicide or potentially not commit suicide. There was an article released on June 27th, which is a couple of weeks ago. But they talk about how one strong adult, not necessarily strong, one adult who impacts an individual in the LGBTQ plus community that child has a 40% chance to reduce the risk of suicide. Mm-hmm. 1.8 million LGBTQ plus young individuals contemplate suicide. That's 13 to 24 people. So 13 out of 24 contemplate suicide. And those are just statistics. Obviously, we all know that there are a lot more LGBTQ plus individuals that haven't come out of the closet. But I think it's important to note that people like Mama Kim, who has not only touched her son, but all of us and her son's boyfriend, that is the type of person that is saving lives.
Mm-hmm. And Linda Stay.
Linda Stay,
Dragons.
I always want to say Daddy Dragons.
And the woman who is, I forget her name, who is standing in to be people's mothers at same-sex.
Sarah Cunningham. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing to see how one individual can impact somebody's life. I mean, like an LGBTQ youth's life, like in keep them alive. We all know I've lost somebody to suicide, and he had love surrounding him. Things happen, but like, it is a terrible thing to go through, and there are so many ways to combat that. And if it's just seeing somebody that's on the side of the street upset or whatever, just have a conversation.
Yeah.
Be there for people, because you never know what your one smile can do for somebody. And I think that that this is an amazing article, and just to know that one adult can really make that much of a change.
Absolutely.
It's pretty powerful.
I think it's important to realize that, you know, if you have the power to be the change you want to see in the world, and if you want to protect young LGBTQ folks, children who are coming into this world believing that they're not wanted, you could do so by just simply acknowledging that they exist and being a part of their lives, even if it's just a minimal part, whether it's an hour, 2 hours that you can devote of your time to, hey, let's go for ice cream, let's talk, let me show you that you are valid, that you are an important part of our community or a community, and that I'm going to acknowledge you as a human being, that goes a long way.
Sorry, I have to correct myself. Sorry, it's 1.8 million LGBTQ young people ages 13 to 24.
That's what I thought it was.
Contemplate or attempt suicide each year in the United States.
That's way too many.
1.8 fucking million.
Mm-hmm. Way too many.
One.
Way too many.
One is way too many.
So, yeah. So if you can.
You guys are on the same page. That like never happens.
I already turned the page.
All right. So
I'm over that. Page.
I know that we're going to probably start wrapping up the show, but I wanted to quickly send a big thank you to Mama Kim because, of course, you know, we always talk about her here on the show.
We love her.
But we love her dearly. But she's also been very, very generous with us. And she sent us an amazing gift. And I wanted to sort of kind of put it out there. Let me just prop it up here. It's a book.
Oh, you got this. Just give it to me.
I was going like,
I got it.
I want Vanna White it.
I'm going to put it right here, and it's called We Are Everywhere. And this book is just absolutely amazing. So we ended up getting it in the mail a couple of days ago, and I started looking through it, and some of the pictures in this book are just so vivid and amazing and beautiful and in your face. And it really talks and has a lot of really good material about our history and the struggles. And, you know, the first chapter of ACT UP, which we talked about because of Pose and how all of these organizations and groups that just went out there and started fighting for LGBT rights because of how many people we were losing to AIDS and HIV and all of that, the
violence.
Stonewall riots, and it really, the Gay Liberation Front. I mean, when you talk about how much information is in this one book, it is amazing. So I wanted to thank her. Thank you for sending it to us.
It's a pretty hefty book.
Thank you, Mama
Kim.
Yes,
it is. It is amazing.
I'm sure Trish will listen to it one day.
Well, that's a hardcover, and it's gorgeous, so thank you. That'll be a great addition to our library here in the studio. And I'm excited.
Definitely going to have to listen to this one.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot of great pictures in it.
Excellent.
So thank you again,
thank
Mama
you very
Kim,
much,
for
Mama Kim.
Sending it over to us. And, you know, we always look forward to stuff like this from people that we love.
Sounds cool.
All right. So why don't we go ahead and start wrapping
things
up?
Can I just
up?
Say, oh, this is Gay God. Pride 86. This is a year before I was born.
Yeah. Ooh. Gorge.
I mean, amazing photo, but.
Oh, wait. You're not done yet.
Sorry.
Keep looking. There's so many beautiful photos in there. And some of the guys, I'm like, oof. Wow.
My son is bi. I don't ask why. My mother is straight, but she don't hate. These are t-shirts on these people. Okay, I love it. Okay. Let's close it out. Let's do this.
All right, so why don't we kick it over to Nick. Do you have our Gay Talk term for today?
We're going to do Mama Kim's Minute first.
Okay.
Yeah, well, she's the intern.
I'm going to cut her. All right.
All right, so.
Timer, please.
Mama Kim's Minute, everybody. I'm going to get started. So, one, gays rule. Megan, I'm going to
go.
Megan, I'm going to say her name wrong.
Rapinoe
reveals the science behind U.S. team success. Two, gay teen writes emotional letter to parents who won't accept him. I refuse to live a lie. Not for you or for anyone. Kent Mendez, 19, wrote. Three, homophobic nations suffer a major loss at the United Nations country's overwhelming vote to hold nations to account on LGBTI issues.
Awesome.
Four, Justin Utley belts uplifting song to survivors of conversion therapy. He survived conversion therapy, by the way. Pretty amazing song. Five, this cute cartoon shows the real story of a boy finding his forever family. It's part of a new animation series for preschool kids.
Aw. That's amazing.
That's great. And we have to give claps to the U.S. ladies, world champs, under Rapinoe. And they, quote, ain't going to the fucking White House.
And I love it.
Absolutely.
So, fantastic. All right, so why don't we move it over to our Gay Talk term for today?
Oh, can Trish talk again? Is
yeah,
that right?
I would love to. All right, so this week's Gay Talk term, oh my God,
no,
term,
never mind.
Of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com is Hero Candy.
Huh?
Hero Candy is a football player. For some, other sport idols are okay, who will allow homosexuals to blow them.
Oh,
Trish had a mouthful of hero candy, I'm sure, at some point. Or wanted it.
Oh, well, I was on the football team.
She was exactly. on the football team. So
that's why I said it.
Lord have mercy that...
Listen, why do people think I listen?
I actually kind of found offense to this term, but that's okay.
I can imagine a lot of that book is offensive.
I know. It's getting really hard to find terms.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll need to find a new book.
You're like, it's a racism. It's a racism. We got yeah.
New decade. New decade.
Exactly.
Oh, look, it's not about Trish anymore. It's your turn.
Oh, yay, me. My turn. Is that okay, Trish? Do you mind?
Can you cut her mic? I'll do it.
All righty. As always, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
I miss unicorn booty.
I know. I almost said it. When July 5th of the year 2010, I graduated high school that year. Where in the state, in the nation of Argentina.
Argentina.
Yes, that one.
Oh,
that,
my God.
That one, too. Same-sex marriage was approved. The Senate vote is 33-27 at the end of a marathon debate that lasted until 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's on this day in gay history. Good news.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
That was 9 years ago. I was 31. I miss being 31.
I think your timeline's off. But, okay, yeah. What? Why?
What?
Announcements?
Can we?
Oh, all right.
Stagnant.
All right. Listen, guys, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary pledged donation. We collect those monthly, and it can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
All right. Next week, we're happy to welcome actor Juan LaPrince. He'll be joining us to talk about his upcoming works in film.
That's right.
And previous work.
And previous work.
And thank you to Chris for showing up today.
Yay me!
As well as our two listeners, Ben and Richard, for reaching out to us with your comments and questions. We truly love that. We do enjoy to interact with you and encourage our listeners to reach out.
That's mm-hmm. right. All right. Christopher?
Can we please put a rubber on this fantastic episode?
Yes.
All right. As always, ladies and gentlemen, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
I appreciate that your voice didn't crack, but go ahead.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, you have a lot to say.
wait, where am I?
Oh my God, the end of the show.
If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, as most know you can do. And you can also submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. So that we could.
I mean, you're questions. Paying for that phone, so.
Yeah, please call us. That phone number is 334-K-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.